Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Be Radiant Radio. You are made of light and you are made to shine. Positive, uplifting, and helpful. Welcome to the show where you'll get informational and inspirational ideas on how to unleash your potential, get what you want in life, and shine like you're meant to.
Hi, and welcome. I'm your host, Angela Loeb. Thanks for tuning in for today's program, Goals, Take Detours in Stride. Today's title and topic comes from a book I love called The Magic of Thinking Big by Dr. David Schwartz, and in particular, the chapter entitled Use Goals to Help You Grow. In that chapter, Dr. Schwartz said, prepare to take detours in stride. If you are driving down a road and you come to a road closed situation, you wouldn't camp there, nor would you go back home. The road closed simply means that you can't go where you want to go on this road. You'd simply find another road to take you where you want to go. Exactly. So all of the great goal achievers in history, they had to deal with mistakes or failures along the way, but great goal achievers don't really see it as making mistakes or having failures, do they? Instead, their attitude is like, this is just a detour. And the deal is, though, that when you have goals, you will have to take detours. And they show up in different forms, don't they? Your detour might be caused by a mistake you've made. Maybe you're cruising along and then, bam, you suddenly realize, uh-oh, I've gone way off course here. You've taken the wrong exit, and suddenly you're in the next county and you're thinking, where did I go wrong? Where did I make a mistake here? And then there's the detour that's caused by bad weather, which is beyond your control. Maybe the road is washed out and you have to find a new direction. Hey, in Austin, Texas, where I live, we've had a lot of rain recently, which means a lot of flash flooding, which means a lot of road closings. In fact, a sinkhole appeared in the middle of one of the roads near downtown a few days ago. So, of course, that road's been blocked off until repairs can be made. And it's just bad weather sometimes means you have to take a detour. Okay, I know. I'm using a metaphor here, and maybe you're following me, but let's be direct. I'll say it directly. Sometimes your detours are caused by things out of your control. Sometimes it's mistakes you make, and sometimes it's things out of your control. So, for instance, you're working on a new business, but your business partner decides to pull out. Or you've been seriously considering that it's time to look for a new job, but your wife finds a lump in her breast, and then you decide this is not the time to change jobs. You've been a stay-at-home parent, and now your kids are getting older, you're thinking of going back to your career, and then you find out that your son is having trouble with a learning disability, and you realize that, for now, your full-time focus needs to remain on your child. Or maybe you and your spouse have been saving up for a down payment for a house, and you've even started looking at properties, and then you find out that your company is downsizing your department, and your job might be eliminated in the next couple of weeks. Anyway, you get my drift. These are real-world examples of real detours that are caused by things out of our control and prevent us from driving toward our goals. Now, does this mean you have to give up on our goals? I mean, you don't have to give up on your goals. Okay, sometimes it does make sense to give up on them because the detours themselves can teach us something or show us something about ourselves or our goals. Like maybe they're not the best goals for us to have, or maybe they're not the best goals for us to have at that time in our life. But generally, if you have a fixed purpose and it's very clear to you that your passion could eventually get you there, no, you don't have to give up on reaching your goals. You could choose instead to use the detour to get creative. You know, like that old saying goes, necessity is the mother of invention. We often get creative and inventive about our goal when we come to this road closed sign, and we have enough passion and we have enough desire that opportunity, that detour can actually become an opportunity for us to figure out something that can be of use, something that maybe you've not thought of, that if it weren't for the detour, you wouldn't have thought of this creative solution. And I think that sometimes detours are like tests. It's like you're being asked, how badly do you really want to be or do this thing that you're desiring? And is it a good thing? I mean, I think it's a good thing to be tested because here's something else to consider. A lot of goals can lead to big changes in who we are and how we behave, not just from the journey of going for the goal, the journey toward the goal, but when we get to the results of having that goal achieved, it can change who we are. It can change how we behave. It demands something of us. Now, we might not even realize what we're inviting into our life when we say, here's my goal, and I'm going for it. But when we can endure a few tests and still want this thing that we desire, we still keep going for it, then it's like, yeah, okay. So my purpose is to have this or to be this, the purposefulness that I have, whatever that goal is, it becomes even stronger after having been tested. And having difficulty, I mean, that will test you and your convictions. And I think it can be a good thing. Now, take something, for example, I noticed many years ago when I was in the staffing business about the ebb and flow of the economy and its effects and how things can happen that, you know, you didn't even realize that you're going to have this detour. It's like you're going on this road and it's so good, it's going so well, and then, boom, there's a detour. So what happens, though, you know, when you have a great economy and then you get into a difficult economy, and I saw this as a self-selection process happen, a sort of purification process, if you will, in the way people choose to get into and then leave professions. So here's a great example. It's something I realized when I was in the staffing business, and this was in the late 1990s. We had a booming economy in Austin, Texas. We were in a technology boom, what they called the dot-com era. E-commerce was all the craze. Businesses were starting up left and right, and it was the age of the Internet, and many business people were convinced that everyone and their brother would immediately begin buying whatever they needed, from pet supplies to cars, on the Internet. Of course, we are there today, but back in the late 90s, this was kind of a new concept, right? Amazon was born, Google was born, and so forth. Left and right, we were seeing money being invested in these startups. And as a recruiter, I was in the middle of it, too. I saw candidates with startup business after startup business on their resumes. Many of those startups had failed, of course, which is why they were even coming to me in the first place for their help with their job search. But I also saw a lot of hiring happening, and amazing, at one point, the unemployment figure in Austin, it fell as low as 1.5%. Now, that's insane, we all thought at that time. I still think that number is insane, because economists say that full employment is 3 to 4%, and we were at 1.5%. So it was crazy. And naturally, it was a boom time in the staffing industry. Recruiters like me were in high demand. Companies faced with labor shortages were willing, like never before, to pay us to find the talent that they needed. And it wasn't just the e-commerce companies. We were seeing growth in all technology industries. People needed computers, too. I remember how Dell Computers, a relatively unknown company that was modestly growing at that time with around 100 employees, they suddenly became well-known. They started drawing employees from all these other businesses in the area from a variety of industries, not just technology. And when Dell went public during that crazy growth time, the ones who were there during the startup days who had stock, they became affectionately known in the Austin area as Dellionaires. Of course, as a side note, in the midst of all that was going on, there was the Y2K scare. Theoretically, when the clock struck midnight on January 1, 2000, much of the electronic world was going to go down. So while consumers were buying and stocking their pantries with cans of tuna, we recruiters were helping the companies to hire staff so we could thwart that crisis. Anyway, those were really heady days. It was a time when a bunch of people jumped into my profession. They jumped into recruitment. I had been at it for a while, and I was pretty well seasoned by that point. But we had a lot of newcomers jumping in and becoming recruiters, and frankly, it led to some slipshod recruiting out there, even outright unethical recruiting practices during that time period. I heard all about it from people who were coming to see me. And, you know, not all of those who were new to the field were bad. Many were just opportunists. They saw the opportunity. They seized it. They did the best they could. They jumped in because they saw it was a lucrative profession in the moment. And many of them stayed, actually, in it once they got into it. But when the economy began to slow down in late 2000 and then began to recede in 2001, and then the 9/11 tragedy made things worse, I mean, the ones who didn't have the passion for it, they left. They lacked passion, and therefore they lacked the endurance that was needed when they got to the road closed sign. And when the dust settled, I looked around me in the community, and the good recruiters, the veteran recruiters, those of us who were in the profession for the profession's sake, we were still standing and thriving. And hey, Dell was still there, and Amazon made it through, as did Google, of course, all those different businesses. So why have I told you this story? because a lot of people have goals that they think reflect their true desires, and then come the tests, the detours. If you have a true desire, a goal that reflects your true desire, you'll take those detours in stride. You won't let things like a crappy economy, you won't let it like an illness in your family or your own illness, or a loss like a divorce or the death of a loved one, a job loss, whatever it is, you won't let that stop you. You'll take the detour in stride. Now, you might accept a delay, of course, if something major happening. It's actually smart sometimes to make it to have a delay. If you're going through a divorce, if you've lost a loved one, I mean, that's major. You need to take care of yourself, and you put your goal on hold. That totally makes sense. Or maybe the detour, the thing that happens that you are thinking, I've got to take this in stride, well, what it might do is it might actually, you might decide to change the way the goal ultimately looks. It might help you to redefine the goal. But the point is that you're not necessarily giving up the goal altogether. And hey, either way, whether you decide to stay on that course, change your course, change the goal, put a delay on it, whatever it is, you will learn something from the detour, even if it's to learn what you don't want as a result of the experience. So if you change your mind, you decide not to go for that goal anymore, it might be because you just don't want that goal anymore. Sometimes that's what the detour tells us. Do you really want to go that direction? How badly do you want it, you know? It's like, and also, it's like what James Joyce said, mistakes are the portals of discovery, and that is so true, because obstacles, mistakes, failures, those kind of things, they're shifting points for course changes along the way. So not just those things that are out of our control, but the mistakes that we make too. I mean, sometimes you have to downshift and then find a new gear, or maybe it's about looking for a new path altogether to reach your goal. And when this happens, you can ask yourself, what can I learn from this? So you might find that the timing is affected when you have to take a detour, and that's not always a bad thing. But even if you perceive that it is, whatever your situation is, I advise stepping back. Here's a detour, here's a road closed sign, or take a new path kind of sign ahead up in the road. I advise you step back and revise your approach. Really use the test as a time to really kind of think it through. Use the resourcefulness. That's your birthright as a human. You have opposable thumbs and a reasoning brain. Use them. And get support, too, if you need some. Maybe the detour tells you it's time to tap into your fellow Homo sapiens reasoning brain, too, because most of the time, as they say, more brains are better than one. So the point is, remember what Dr. Schwartz said about taking detours in stride. Remember he said the road closed simply means you can't go where you want to go on this road. And if that's the case, find another road to take where you want to go. So that's really great. Oh, and by the way, a perfect example of this is a true story of Eddie Edwards and his dream to become an Olympian. Go watch the inspiring movie that they made about him. It's called Eddie the Eagle. It just came out in 2015. And Eddie, he's someone who had tons of detours, lots of obstacles, and people telling him, including his own health, that said, you can't be an Olympian. And he just simply found another road to take him where he wanted to go. So I find that very inspiring. So go watch Eddie the Eagle. Okay, so I say, be smart, be observant, be adaptable, give up only when it makes sense to, and if it does, that's fine. And if it's a true and worthy, it's worthy and true, and it's a goal that it's you really want to go for it, it's worthy of your time and your energy, keep on driving toward your goal. And definitely enjoy the journey, okay? Look around and enjoy the scenery too, my friend. You know, they say it's about the destination. Well, it's also about the journey. All right, before I close today's program, let me mention that next time on June 19, I'm going to talk about three important principles for success. My focus will be on how you define success, so we'll talk about that, and then I'll also have some inspiring ideas to share with you. And one last thing, if you're interested in my books and other programs, you want to connect with me, I'm on Facebook, I'm on Twitter, etc., you can see those links at angelaloeb.com, that's angelaloeb.com. Feel free to reach out, and I'd love to connect with you, so send me a note or reach out to me on Facebook or Twitter or whatever. And so there you go. It's time to go. But until next time, please be well and keep on shining like you're meant to.